The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Spot rare wildlife, explore the forest, and have endless adventures together.
Martin McDonagh, good morning and nice to see you.
Good morning, how are you?
And somebody was saying today you're interviewing the movie the movie guy, Martin McDonagh. But no, more importantly, you're Martin McDonagh from Galway City, really. Tell us where you're from, Martin, and a bit about yourself.
My name is Martin McDonagh. I'm a member of the travelling community. I'm from originally Ballyban. So Hillside would have been Ballyban at the time. So that was like 24 houses and a lot of caravan sites are built around the houses. So sure. My family was living in the houses and I lived there most of my life.
Tell me about your parents and what sort of lifestyle they led in terms of travelling and settling.
I think, my mother and my grandmother and grandfather would have travelled a bit. But for me, when I was born, we were settled travellers. So we settled in Well Park first, and then we moved to Hillside.
Yeah.
And we lived most of my life in Hillside, my childhood life. I suppose Hillside was unique. It was mostly travellers, I'd say.
Yeah.
Living there.
Yes.
And it was kind of, I suppose it was a rough upbringing, we would call it, in the sense of it had its own issues of alcoholism and stuff like that. But I suppose...
You were happy enough, were you? I mean, it's when you talk about a rough upbringing, is it hard to navigate that as a kid?
Well, it's reality and you just get on with it. I suppose
yeah.
I appreciate my childhood now because it made me the person I am today. So growing up, probably being a bit deprived a bit and learning skills and knowing how to survive was important and good for me. And it's a good life lesson for me as well, you
toughened,
know.
Toughened up. Ready for the real world then when you got out of it.
Yeah.
It's this part, we're looking out a window here and we can see, as I say, Connemara basically. It's probably the most beautiful radio studio I've ever broadcast from in terms of the environment. Do you know this part of town?
I do. So a lot of my family would have camped just beyond the shop, back the road a bit, for years, obviously for the last... whatever, 5 or 6 or 7 years. It doesn't happen anymore as much, but I know there's two families still comes back here from the travelling community, originally from Hillside. They come back every summer. So that was our summer holidays. We'd come back to Connemara.
Yeah.
So as soon as we get off school, we'd in the caravans or...
And Beledangan, or were you? Where were you?
We're back. We call it the burnt garage.
Yeah.
Is what we called it. I don't actually know the location, but it was back. And on the left-hand side, as you're going back, we stayed in there, yeah. So...
Do you remember when you're coming up from on Spidale through Indrevan, and you had T. Johnny Sean's on the left,
yeah. Right?
The Pat and Jerry Walsh's pub. And across the road, well, for years in the 70s, there was Joyce's.
Yes.
Which was a big, mad shop.
Yeah.
And then disappeared out of sight.
Disappeared, yeah. We were not really, really familiar with the area in the sense of knowledge. But it was like, we're going back to Connemara for the summer. We're going camping. So my family would be well known back in Connemara side as well, you know. So...
they were your kind of happy memories of your child, happy place as a kid, Connemara holidays.
Very
sure.
Happy, yeah, yeah. And I suppose there are good times as well when you look back, you know, we could run free.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
it. I know what you're saying.
And you can't do that really anymore as much. The freedom of just going out and playing and come back for your dinner or your supper or whatever it would be, you know. So
a little different. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, Martin. What's your life?
I'm working for Fariga now, a youth organisation who is funded by the Department of Youth and Children. And the funding comes down through the GRETB gives it to ourselves. I suppose a special mention to Davnet and Sarah, that's the GRETB youth officers, and we work closely with them to kind of
see the needs. On the road.
Yeah.
So who are you dealing with? You're dealing with kids from Galway mostly?
We deal with kids from Galway, yeah. So myself, I work for Ballyban. So the Eastside Youth Project is UBU Youth Project in Ballyban. So we have the Eastside. So we cater for Juhishka, Ballyban, Castle Park, Merview, Ringmore, the surrounding areas, yeah. Kind of... surrounding areas,
and
yeah.
Tell me about the kids that come in to see you and what...
Well, we work from kids from 10-year-olds right up to 24-year-olds. So whatever they kind of want, really, in a sense. So we kind of bring them in. We've our own youth space now. We got it at the start of COVID, March 2020,
yeah.
Which we're very privileged to have. So it's a space where we create a welcome atmosphere, a happy place, loving and caring the kids, you know, they're young people. So they come in and we bring them in, we introduce them in. So say if somebody rings, so they bring in a child, we'd say, come on up, I'll meet you, give you a rundown of the building and give you a rundown of what we do and see what them kids' interests is. Yeah. So we go and we'd see, okay, if they like arts and crafts, like arts and crafts. If they like football, they like football. We do cooking, we do some STEM stuff. It's kind of... It's whatever they come up with. So whatever they want to do,
whatever
we provide.
Interests them.
Yes.
It gives them a form of escape, but also they're educating themselves as well in a way that suits them.
Yes. And it gives them routine.
Yeah.
Routine is important to all of us. You know, we know we have to get up for work. We have to go. Same with them kids. They know they have to get up for school. And then we do all after school. So after school is when they will come in and just let their hair down, enjoy the place and see what their interest is. So I know soccer is a big thing, boxing is a big thing, and they come in and just kick football and, you know, really enjoyable.
It sounds like a youth club, like a souped up youth club, you know what I mean? In the old days you'd have a youth club, but I don't know if they do that anymore. But this is essentially a place for people to go. They might have hassle at home, they might not have hassle at home necessarily. Is it a majority of the children or the younger people, is it travelling community or is it everything and everyone?
I think it's important to note that we're open doors for all kids,
yeah,
and all young people.
Sure.
But in Ballyban, we have a high population of the travelling community.
Because of where it is.
Of where it is, yeah. So my clientele would be probably 75-80% travellers.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, you know, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, 100%, yeah. Like, I know all the families. I grew up with all the families,
of course,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to have a communication and help families out kind of thing. That's important. I'm 23 years in doing youth work with Feroiga. So I suppose they grew up with me.
Yeah.
They kicked football with me. They done boxing with me. So all the kids that would come through would know me as, they call me Chicks Martin. It's what my name, they call me. They put a nickname on my mother, years and years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know why. My mother was called Chick, but anyway.
So you're Chicks Martin.
They call me. So even in the football scene, I used to play junior football, but they would call me as Chicks or Chicks Martin. Because there were so many Martin McDonoughs in my family, they put a nickname on all of us.
Okay, okay.
So everyone knows me as, so if you go to Ballyban, you say, I'm looking for Martin McDonagh. They say,
which one? Yeah,
they've said Chicks Martin.
And they know
me. And then they'll know straight away. Yeah. So all the kids call me Chicks Martin.
Martin.
So, but I have to say they're fantastic kids. You know,
why did you get involved?
I got involved. So my growing up, as you know, it was a rough upbringing in the sense of my mother had addiction with alcohol and stuff like that. I was very blessed. I had a great grandmother and a grandfather that kind of looked after me and my older brother through that period of time. And then we lived in the houses in Hillside, and we had a priest, Father Ned Crosby, Sister Rose and Sister Mary that lived among us in the houses. And I fond memories of Father Crosby bringing us back to Clare. So Bishop Eamon Casey had a house back there that they would bring us back every summer for 3 days. So each family would get 3 days back there, and we'd go to the Aran Islands. And so I love that. It takes you away from everything, and it creates this nice, we were children, we you know, we had great crack and running out the long grass and, you know, going to the Aran Islands and stuff like that was adventure,
freedom.
Freedom. Yeah, and I suppose I went back doing a little bit of that then, voluntarily helping Sister Rose and Sister Mary out with new kids that was coming up, and I loved it. And so then I got the opportunity to volunteer with Feroiga in Ballyban, and then I love it. Yeah. I'm 23 years ahead, and like there's a saying, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
And I love my job.
Yeah.
You know,
understand.
And to see the kids come in, express themselves, go out with a smile on their face, yeah, that's what it's all
it's
about.
Meaningful then as well, because you have your own children, you have four of your own.
Yes.
So you've a busy enough world.
I'm kept going. So I have an 18 year old daughter, Rachel, and a 15 year old son, Keane. And I have a 10-year-old son, Riley, who has autism,
yes,
nonverbal, and I have a daughter called Maddie. Yeah, so I'm kept busy. Names. Yeah, yeah.
And Riley is 13.
10.
10, excuse me.
10, yeah.
And how's he doing? And how are the services for you for a nonverbal autistic boy?
I think everyone knows the services is not, I suppose, what they should be.
Yeah.
I think.
Is it driving you crazy or are you coping?
I always look at things. I never look at the glass half empty.
Okay.
I always look at the glass half full.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, there's worse out there that's suffering than me. Do you know what I mean? So I look at, I'm a fit young man. My son loves walking. So loves it. That's his thing. And so I can do that. So I'm very blessed.
He could walk for miles.
He could. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. So he brought the mother-in-law one day from Air Square out to Knocknacara, out beside the Clybourne, walking through Salt Hill. So he'd done 18 kilometres. So that tells you, so.
That's, as you say, that's his thing.
Oh, that's his thing.
It's not jigsaws or movies or walking.
No, and in fairness, we have got a communication device about a year and a half ago, and that has, I suppose, brought him on so much in the sense of he's communicating with us now, and he has one or two words, which is through the iPad.
Yes.
It's a communication device, so through an iPad, he will tell us what he wants. But he has mama, dada, nana, bits like that, which is, which I suppose we never thought we'd get there or see the day that he'd be able to talk and stuff like that. You know, that's funny. So we had him humming. We got a shock the other morning. He was lying on the floor, and it was Saturday. And he was lying down with his sister on the floor in the sitting room. So he loves bringing down the blanket to the sitting room. And he's humming Twinkle Twinkle.
Right.
Yeah.
Had you not heard him humming before?
Never heard him saying anything before. Only we kind of coach him to say, Mama, say Mama, say Dada. Never heard him.
So how did you react when you heard him humming that?
Shock. My partner, Chelsea, picked up the phone.
Yeah.
Recorded. Like, it was amazing to know that, you know, because he's nonverbal, we don't know what his development is. So we don't know, like, does he understand everything that's going on? Does he take things in? Sometimes is he even listening? But to hear him humming the whole Twinkle Twinkle was special. You know, special.
Where did it come from, I wonder? Was he watching something? Or did you sing it to him as a baby? Or?
No, I think it's come from, I think in school they kind of do a lot of music.
It's a very easy tune, I suppose.
Yeah, and he went, and we were sitting there dumbfounded saying,
wow,
oh my God, he's actually. And so then we would prompt him to say Twinkle Twinkle for us, Riley. You know.
And has he repeated it, or was it a once off?
No, he's repeated it.
So does it give you a sense? I'm sorry, this wasn't on our agenda, but I'm just fascinated by even your own, the way you're talking. It's so exciting because it's like you just saw a child speak for the first time. So, you know, were you wondering what else is in that head of his? Like, what's, you know, it's undiscovered country.
Oh, yes. It's every day now we're prompting him to say something different.
Yeah.
So we say, Riley, say thank you. So he says, after school. So he's able to say, after school now. So I think there's everything that he's learned is in the head. It's just to get him to bring it out.
To bring it out in his own time.
In his own time,
that's exciting.
So that's
a good news story in your house.
Oh, it's a fantastic news story because I suppose, you know, we didn't expect autism as a diagnosis, I suppose, which was a bit of a shock to ourselves. But we look at
Yeah.
always positives, always we love him unconditionally. You know,
I spoke to Professor Michael Kern yesterday from in Galway, and he talked about his son Mikey, who has Down syndrome, who is Down syndrome. We've got to get the language right. Forgive me, and he said, when we learned that Mikey was that this was his life, he said we cried for 2 weeks, and then we've had the most beautiful life ever since. I thought it was a nice way of putting it. There was an honesty to the acknowledgement at the beginning that this wasn't going to be the same as everyone else experienced, but actually then you get to a point where you realise it doesn't matter to us. That's our boy and that's the end of it. And obviously with you and Riley, it's probably something similar.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He's dearly loved through his grandmother. Maggie idolises him. Mm. My partner, myself, his family loves him, you know, so that's the most important thing. And he will... succeed and kind of find his own path in life, you know, that kind of way.
Martin, we went down that rabbit hole because it was. I just loved it talking to. I loved to, how excited you were talking about your son Riley. But continued success with the work you do with Unfurga, and thanks for being with us today. I know you're changing a lot of lives for another generation of young people there in Galway. So it was a pleasure to meet you here in Castle in real life, and I wish you and your family every success and happiness.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate
Martin
it.
McDonagh
Thank you.
Joining us, not at all, live in studio this Tuesday morning. We'll have more for you after this break.